It's Ego and Vice, episode 132.
You've got a real attitude problem, McFly. You're a slacker.
Hey, this is Mike. This is Ego and Vice. This is episode 132. Thank you so much for coming back. Thank you so much for the support. Ego and Vice has been going for 7.5 years now. I'm about halfway through season 7 already. Is that crazy? It's crazy. Like, where does the time go? And it has no end, no stopping. I don't see it stopping. I may take a summer break, though. I may take some time off. I just bought a brand new bike, a mountain bike. Anyway, it's a hybrid bike, and now that snowboarding season's over, I really need to switch my obsessions, so I'm going to jump on the brand new bike, but it's been really cold, so it's kind of a bummer. There's no snow in the winter, and in the spring, there's no sun. Fuck's going on? Anyway, enough about me. One thing I do want to say is last week, a new GOAT single off the upcoming GOAT record, the new GOAT record, Gloat, which should drop in May, TBA, was released. It's called Into the Wild. It's a song about how we use our cell phones too much. Well, social media, just devices, how we just get brainwashed and, you know, we're so tied to them. It's almost like a magnet. It's stuck in your hand. It's stuck in your head. First thing you do in the morning is check your phone. Last thing you do at night is check your phone. And it's about just how do we get away from it? I don't know. So the song is called Into the Wild. You can guess the answer is to build a log cabin in the woods, maybe. Cool. Let's get to the episode. This week on Ego and Vice, I have a band called Deadwell. Mark, Dan, Joe, and Cody came into Southwood Studio, and we had a great conversation. They're a fairly new band, but individually they are made up of musicians that have been around the Ottawa music scene for a long time. And they were going about their merry business, and then they found each other, and now Deadwell exists. Awesome band. Really great music, amazing songwriters, and cool dudes. Let's play a song. This song is called Story of My Life. They also have a video for it. When we come back, Mark, Dan, Joe, and Cody sit down in South Hood, and we have a great conversation. Now I'm repeating myself. Who gives a fuck? All right. This is Deadwell, Story of My Life, Eagle and Bucks. We'll be right back.
Like a mirage that haunts my kind, until I fold away. And I cannot find it. No, I cannot lie. And I can't even find it. What I've been looking for, the distant open door, the vision ends in a war. It's a gunshot fight, and it claims my.
Hey, we're back. This is Eagle and Vice. This is episode 131. As promised, in Southwood Studio, I have the four members of the Ottawa band Deadwell. I have Joe, Mark, Dan, and Cody. What's going on?
How you doing?
Good.
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. Mister.
Hi.
There it is. I'm doing good. I was kind of rushed today because I screwed up the scheduling, so I got to thank you guys for accommodating me, because I know earlier in the week he said, do you mind if we do 6:30? And I was like, oh, yeah, no problem. And then I had to like switch it to like 8, and I was like, oh, this isn't going to go well.
No worries, buddy.
You know, as unprofessional as this is, I try to be as professional as I can. You know, but it's DIY, right? You do your best. So Deadwell. I stumbled across you guys a couple months ago. I think that's when I got in touch with somebody anyway.
Yeah, it was me.
Yeah, right. And I hadn't heard of you guys, but I listened to the three songs you had up on, I think it was Spotify, and I really liked All About You. Is that what the song is called?
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah, super catchy chorus. But the story of my life, that's the one you had the video for. You know, I'm jumping ahead because I'm excited that you're here. I really wanted to talk to you guys. Can you guys go into a bit of a origin of who is Deadwell and where did they come from and how long have you guys been around, and let's go.
I could take this one. So in essence, we're a bunch of dad rockers that have yet to give up on the dream. I think that's the best way to put it.
I love it.
Yeah. So we've all been in bands playing music together, crossing paths, what, over 20 years, right? You know, it's got to be over 20 years, played in different bands, known each other through the local music scene in Ottawa. Mm. And then I guess it was Mark's idea. Mark was trying to put something together. And then he asked me to sing. And then I knew Dan. Dan and I played in a band called The Second Glance for years in Ottawa. And I said, you know what? Get Dan involved in this. Dan brought in Cody. And then we all just kind of like gelled together and made it happen. So really, it's just up until now, really like a recording project, mm-hmm. You know, we just get in the studio, we write songs, and we're trying to keep it low-key and chill, mm-hmm. But it's turning out really well. Like, we're all really happy with the product, right? So yeah. Really that's, as far as an origin story, I think that's what it is. Just kind of naturally came together, man, from a bunch of people who've been buddies for a long time. And then
I think that's, it's amazing that there's a couple other bands in the city. Do you guys know the band Class of 91?
Yeah, I've heard of them, yeah.
Yeah, they're like, as you said, like dad rockers, where they're like, they put a band together. They had like quit for like 20 years, and then a stage in life kind of came around where they're like, well, let's try this again. And now they're playing like all the time. Super good dudes. I had a gig with them. But yeah, I totally respect that. And I totally get where you're coming from too, being someone in my, we'll say mid 40s, yeah. We'll call that.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like, I don't think you really need to give up a dream. It just never goes away. Like, it's just, if it's in you, it's in you, right?
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter what stage you're in, if you still have music in you and you want to get it out. And it's awesome that you have friends that play all the instruments you need, I guess. How was, let's talk about like maybe some, like the early days. Like you said you were in bands. What was the band called again?
That was The Second Glance.
Okay.
Yeah.
What about you guys?
I was in a band called Full Levity back in 2000 to 2004. That was kind of my intro into the punk scene, and then started a career and traveled and didn't touch a guitar for about 10 years and missed it, reignited the passion. I play in a cover band in Ottawa called Gin & Tonic, and we've done a lot of gigs, and I still love playing covers, but I always had the itch to kind of, you know, write and get creative and stuff. And I met Joe at work, and we started talking, and that's kind of how the genesis of this band started.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've played in a bunch of bands, mostly like heavier stuff, I guess I would say. Then like I played in a band Collider and another band called Drill Point. I played in a band called Knives for Kids, and I was always a guitar player. Like, I'm kind of a guitar player. I'm always just been like a guitar player who's wanted to be a drummer, like wanted to be a drummer.
Isn't that the way it works, though?
I think so, right?
He's kind of a guitar player. You see this guy. He's the best guitar player in the band.
He's the best guitar player in the band. He doesn't play,
And then we're like, hey, would you play drums for us? And we're like, oh my God, he's amazing at drums, too.
Yes, yeah, my dream come true. I'm like, I don't even care what it sounds like. I'm down. And it turned out to be great. So
The secret weapon.
I'm the opposite. I'm the guy with the drum background.
And
when I play drums.
I've been playing drums as long as I've been playing guitar, but I've never played drums in a band. I've always played guitar in a band.
Yeah.
Guitar and sang, but
exact same for you.
I would love the opportunity if it came around, but I don't know if I'd have the guts to like do it.
It's hard.
That first gig will be a little nerve-wracking. Yeah. Just so different than what I'm used to.
I'm like a shower. You know, people sing in the shower. I'm like a shower drummer. But I have a digital kit anyway.
Yeah.
Go on. I apologize.
That's awesome.
And
my story, I'm backwards to Cody. Like I took music in university and I was a percussion major. And after I graduated from university, I stopped playing drums and I started playing guitar. And like most of the stuff I've done with Joe, I think has been on, I guess a little bit on drums, but mostly it's been guitar and vocals. And then, I don't know, I picked up the bass 5 or 6 years ago, probably. And just, I really liked how it combines the rhythmical stuff of drums with the melodic stuff, because that's what I really missed in drums, is not having any kind of melodic input to the, to the song, right? So bass was kind of like a happy kind of in-between thing for me, and I just kind of dug it. And that's like when Joe asked me to play, it was on bass, and it made sense. And
bass is fun, though. Like, bass is a really fun instrument if you dig into it. Whenever I go up to the studio, the last Goat record I did, I just wrote, like, because I lost my bass player and my drummer, so I just wrote everything and demoed it, and then I went up to my buddy's studio. And my favorite part of the whole fucking experience was recording the bass. You know, just writing bass lines and bass runs and shit. And I probably did too much bass.
It's a sneaky instrument. It's easy to do too much, and it's easy to do too little. Like, finding the right...
Oh, and it's so key. It's like foundational to the sound.
Yeah.
Right? It's like the hidden, it's like I always use the analogy like a hockey, good hockey defense, invisible.
Yeah, you don't notice it until
you don't notice
gone.
It till it's gone. And then you're like, whoa, wait a minute. Yeah, that was the foundation. Yeah, you know what I mean?
So, totally. The only problem is writing writing and recording a record by yourself. You don't have anybody to tell you it's too much bass.
Oh, Joe will tell you.
Until it's done, then it's like, oh.
Yeah, I'm good for the odd comment in production as we go. Yeah. Once in a while.
That's cool. Yeah, so when you guys decided to get together and you started to jam, you said it was more of a recording project. Mm-hmm. Did you jam all the time? Was it?
No.
We've jammed 5 times maybe now? Six?
Yeah.
So you did you do a lot of stuff like online?
Kind of.
Pretty much.
So, so I played another band called Kingfisher. Right. So that's kind of, I know they were on this and I wasn't here at the podcast last time. Yes. Yeah. So I'm one of the chief writers in that band, and I'm like a songwriter. It's what I love to do.
Yeah.
So when Mark asked me to play, I said, okay, I want to do something a little bit different. So Mark says, here, I got a song. I got no vocals. Right. And it's already a pre-made song and he's already got like the counter melodies written. But he's like, I need the main melody and the lyrics. And I was like, okay, this is a good challenge for a songwriter. So it's basically put me out of my wheelhouse, where I usually am the genesis or the formation of the foundation of a song. Mm-hmm. Now I have something that's already pre-written, and I have to kind of fill in the pieces, yet make it sound like it was the part of the song. I was really intrigued by that idea. So what's happening with this band now is, I say recording project, but it's actually more of a creative exposition, right? Where I'm looking at trying to write songs different ways. Mm-hmm. So Dan will come with ideas and then I have to kind of fix them and make them work and do that. So it's been really awesome. we haven't practiced a lot together, but we spent a lot of time figuring this stuff out. And then when we do get to the room, we're like, wow, it all just gelled together.
Do you record with Casey? Is that where you recorded it?
Yeah. No, not this. Deadwell is with Dan.
Oh, Dan.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and myself. I have a studio in my basement. So
cool, man.
Yeah.
I didn't even put that together. I didn't put it together. I fucking love those guys. I love Kingfisher.
Thanks, man. Yeah.
Great fucking. They were just here like four, five podcasts ago.
Yeah. Yeah, I couldn't make it. So then we said, "Oh, your other band, Deadwell, you want to go?" I'm like, "Yeah, for sure."
That's cool. You know what the funny thing is about Ottawa though? It's just like there's a lot of interchanging musicians and members throughout all of Ottawa bands in different corners, different scenes. Because I find there's a whole bunch of different scenes in Ottawa, and everybody kind of knows everybody. And some people play in this band and this band and this band. Because I've had five different bands on, and there's like, hey, you're back. You know what I mean? Like, then I didn't even know, and that's another one today.
Yeah, like Kingfish is a great example of that. Yeah,
like I've played in a band with someone, or at least one member from Kingfisher, Brent.
Yeah. I played in a band with every single person in Kingfisher at one point or another.
That's so funny, man. That's so funny because that's another like kind of pocket of the scene where it's like last year I like the younger, more college kid scene. And now I'm kind of moving like Kingfisher and on and you guys and stuff. And it's just like, there's so many bands and it's such a small city and there's only so many places to play. And it's amazing how many bands haven't heard of each other. Mm-hmm. Like, do you know this band? They play like all the time. They do this. They've been together 3 years. No, never have. Mm. Even though they were playing at the bar next door. Outside with them.
Mm. Yeah.
It's crazy. So now that you're jamming, I guess the goal is to play some shows or.
I think we really want to.
Eh? Yeah. We're working towards it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think. We need to write a couple more tunes. Like, we're pretty new. Like, I don't actually know when we started, but...
It's happening pretty quick, though.
It's been a few months.
It's been over a year.
What?
Yeah.
How has it been over a year?
Because we get together so infrequently.
Well, that's it.
Yeah. Well, I've only been around for... I think probably 6 months ago is when we had the first jam, but I've only had, like, 4 jams with you guys, 5 jams maybe.
Yeah.
It's funny, man, because we'll get an idea together, and then maybe I'll record a couple parts, or Mark will record a couple parts, and I'm like, here, Dan... This is an idea of a song. And then like next week, Dan's like, here you go. It's an almost complete song, you know, because he put his stamp on it, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Like Cody was saying, it happens really quick. Like this band is all people who are very experienced and we've been doing this a long time.
I was going to
say, we can do it really quick, you know.
Definitely happening quick and moving along, but it's experience too, right? You've been through it before. You kind of know how it works. There's not a lot of fucking around. It's kind of like, let's do the stuff that kind of makes sense. You know, you still have fun with it and whatever, but... Yeah,
but it's really effective though. For the 6 times we've jammed, we've written 4 songs and we did a full music video.
that's insane, man.
I've never heard of any band doing that.
Yeah, the story of my life. That was the video, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How did that come about? How did you film it? Casey from Kingfisher was saying that they filmed all of Kingfisher's videos on his phone.
Yep,
is that right?
That's
more
true.
Or less the same?
With zero budget. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well,
so I took that same principle and I said, hey, Dan, Dan's the Renaissance man, right? He can do everything, right?
Yeah.
That's why he plays bass in this band because we needed a bass player. I said, hey, Dan, can you make us a music video? He's like, yeah, sure. Oh, by the way, zero budget. Okay. Yeah, no problem.
So, zero budget.
Yeah.
I think you drafted the concept that day and then
we did it
in 4 hours and that was it.
Yeah.
We showed up and then we had the idea. Joe shows up in a janitor uniform. We jam at my office. And
that
so,
was the start. Yeah,
so she shows up in a janitor uniform and like, all right, I'm a janitor.
You actually had Joe on the thing too.
Yeah.
A little button said Joe. Yeah.
And
that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So like we just
political campaign thing.
It's all about the details. It's all about the realism.
Yeah. So we just used all the camera gear at work and put something together and it. Yeah. I don't know. That start to finish, that was like 3 hours. I think.
Three hours.
No, it was one night. Yeah, it came together really fast. Like we had a binder just like that, spiral binder. Mm-hmm. And we just wrote down like things we wanted Joe to do. And then we just went around the building filming him doing it. And then we just kind of jammed it all together.
Yeah.
And like each of us had a little cameo in there. Like it was pretty organic.
No, it's a cool video. Yeah. And if you look at the state of videos these days, like if you go back and look at like videos from the 90s with explosions and car crashes and narratives and storylines and plots
and budgets
right? Yeah. It's like a mini movie. They used to get like, oh, and this one's directed by Robert or whatever director you're thinking about,
the,
you know?
Yeah, it's how a lot of directors would cut their teeth,
you know. Courtney Cox starred in this video. And now it's just like, fuck, I've seen videos that I swear to God it's one shot, one continuous shot,
yeah,
and it looks like shit, but who cares, right? It's like I don't know. There's so much content out there.
Yeah.
That even if you just watch half the video just to see what the band looks like playing or who's singing to you or something like that, I think that's the main purpose. I don't think people live and die by the video anymore. It's cool to have.
It's true. I think the reason I think it's important is because, like you just said it, there's so much content out there. So right now there's just, I can't remember what the number was. I read an article not long ago. There's thousands of songs that get uploaded to Spotify every day.
Oh, it's crazy.
Yeah. So if you want people to hear what you're doing, you almost have to like full press hit them with it. So you need to have a promo campaign. You need to have a video. You need to do everything and try to hit every single platform and push it, right? Yeah. So with Kingfisher, when I relate to that, we had a, let's call it a business plan of putting one song out a month and it would get a full promo package. We'd get a cell phone video, every platform, and we push. I think we're a little different in this band. We're not trying to push it as much, but we have done that a little bit. But man, it's just so hard to get heard.
Yeah, it's crazy. You know? It's like it's a needle in a haystack, really.
Yeah.
Like music nowadays, because it is so easy to, I can go right now on like to DistroKid or CD Baby or something and upload myself fucking snoring and it's gonna be up there, right? Yeah. It's like content.
Yeah.
It's
just, yeah.
Yeah, right. It's just you, but I understand having a business plan, depending on where you want to go or what you want to do, to kind of get it out there just to have like the reach. You're still competing with all the people that are doing that. You know what I mean?
Yep.
But
and people listen to music on YouTube a lot nowadays too, right? Yeah, so it's YouTube's like if you're gonna one. Have like you might as well have a video up there, not just like, you know.
100%.
Yeah.
That's why I do a video on this podcast. No, I don't. Know. I figure watching like a cheap DIY video is better than watching just someone's head talking to you. So I'm not gonna do a video. But you're right. You're right. Spotify is usually the big one, or Apple Podcasts or stuff. But people always say, "Where can I listen to the podcast?" And I say, "Well, I'd go to Spotify." Me assuming like everybody listens to Spotify, and they're like, "Oh, it's not on YouTube." And it is now, but back then I was like, no. They're like,
yep. You got to hit everything.
You know, then I'm not going to look for it.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like, okay, all right. So, yeah, you got to cover your bases, I guess. And, you know, I don't think anyone's trying to change the world with punk rock these days.
No.
But if you can get it out far enough just, you know, to make it worth it and have people listen to it and get some response back and have people at your shows.
Yeah.
That's what it's all about, you know, and to keep doing it and feel like it's, you know, I don't know. How has... How has playing music as older dudes changed from how you played at when you were younger? Is the I know the drive is always there, but like
it's funny, Cody and I were talking about this on the way over here a little bit, just in that the drive to be perfect isn't there anymore. When we were younger, struggled with that a lot, right? You want to put something out, you feel like you have a lot riding on it, and now it's like that weight is gone and we're just doing it because we enjoy it. And like, we keep coming back to it. Right. So I know me personally, when I was younger, I put a lot into it. I went to school for music. Like there was a lot, it felt like it was always like something more to it and that weight on me. Whereas now I'm a dad, you know, I don't rely on it for income. Like there's all these other things going on in my life. And for me now, music is kind of like that escape and that getaway and like, that thing that I enjoy to do, right? Whereas, because I also worked in the music industry for a while too, which can kind of jade you a bit on stuff, right? Like it's hard to work on music all day and then come home and want to play music too, right? Yeah. So it's like, yeah, it's been an evolution for me for sure. I mean, it's probably not exactly the same for you guys, but.
Well, I think also just like the organization, like we were talking about earlier with, you know, the fact that, well, A, like we can all do recording ourselves now and like we don't have to really rely on other people, whereas when I was younger, like we were kind of relying on other people to take care of a lot of that stuff. And then but just we've got more experience, so things, especially in this band, like what I've found with these guys, they're just like, you know, they get it done. It's not like you have a song that you've been kind of kicking around for a while and you're not really sure how it ends. It's like no, we're like, let's just hammer that song out, let's finish it.
Yeah.
It's good, let's put it out and let's move on to the next thing. Like the video, you know, like literally I joined the band, I had one jam and then they're like, all right, so now we're gonna shoot a music video, you in? And I'm like, awesome, yeah, cool. Like I've never, it's like so much more productive than any other project I've been a part of, just because, you know, it's just like kind of have an idea of what we're doing.
Yeah, so. I think that comes with getting older too. It's just like you kind of do away with the bullshit of it all and just be like, you know what you got to do. So, you know,
it's a good question for me. I don't feel any different now. I've been playing music hard for a long time, and mm-hmm. you know, had a lot of creative output, written a lot of songs. I'm still chasing something. I don't even know what it is.
Fair enough.
And I guess as I get older, I get more content with that there's just this mass confusion, and all I know is I'm a creative person and I can't help it. Mm-hmm. You said something earlier. You said it doesn't matter what's around you. If you're creative, you're a producer of music, you're just going to do it.
It's just going to do it.
It would be no different for me. You can put me anywhere in the world in any position, but I will be pushing out music, and probably it's going to be punk rock or, yeah. Heavy rock like what Deadwell is, right?
So, yeah, 100%. Yeah. And I think, sorry, Mark, did you?
Yeah, no, it's just kind of the same lines as Joe. Like, I'm always chasing a little something too. I don't know exactly what it is, but it's just taking my hobby to the next level.
Yeah.
I love it. It's a great output.
I don't think we'll ever know, because I feel exactly the same way. It's just like, I think every young musician has that thought in their head at some point where you'd be like, wow, this would be awesome to be like, I'm going to be a rock star. I'm going to make a living with this. And then as you kind of go through the trials and tribulations and you have some success, but what is success? Maybe you tour a bit, and then you kind of get older and your life happens and the kids come and the families and the career, and you're like, I'd like to retire someday. Mm. But you still have music. And I find that where I am now is I understand that chasing something, because I still, every time I walk into a room and there's a guitar there, even if I don't touch it, I'm looking at it. You know what I mean?
It's a compulsion.
Yeah. But I find that all those kind of goals of like making a living and doing it forever as you know, being known, now that that's kind of at bay, I'm actually having fun. Like, I don't worry about all that shit anymore. Mm. It's just do it because it's there.
Because you love it.
Yeah. And that's when it's more fun now. I think that's why I asked the question. It's more fun now to me than it was when I was younger. Because younger, you're all tense and everything. You take everything so seriously sometimes. And
I will say this. I've been fortunate enough to know some people who have had success in the music industry. Mm. I can't think of one of them that's particularly happy, to be honest. Because I think it's an illusion, a lot of it, right? So it's like you think you want it. You think you want to be a particular way, and it's not like that. I had one guy he's a pro musician. He tells me, Joe, you're the smartest professional musician I know because you got a job. So.
I guess, I get that too. And if you think of the landscape of music today, the only way to really make money in a band is you have to tour.
Oh,
and
crazy
as you get
life.
Older, the last crazy thing you want to do is be on the road for fucking sleeping in someone's, in some shitty hotel.
Yeah, it's a hard life. Yeah.
It's a hard life, man.
Yeah, because there's no money. You don't make money off music anymore. Like selling like records or anything like that. It's merch at a show, and whatever you get at the door, whatever turns out. Right?
I met a very famous rock star once, and I remember leaving. Sort of hung out for a couple days, and I'm not gonna say who it is, but I remember leaving that whole experience thinking that person is just an expert hustler. They have basically become a really, really good hustler as time's gone on, because they have to, right? They have to, because man, it's a real grind to do that,
Yeah.
Yeah.
And let's play a Deadwell song. What do you guys want to hear? What do you guys want to play?
I don't know. Well, we got what, 5 songs? So pick one of those.
Well, it's your show. You rack it up.
Why don't we start with our release, sir?
The new release? Yeah.
The new song?
Save that for the office.
How about All About You? I think that.
Yeah, you said you like All About You. Why don't we play that one? Yeah, yeah.
I think that's cool.
Yeah,
that's a good one. Okay, this is Deadwell. This is All About You off of EP, right?
Yep.
Off the EP, EP.
I couldn't put self-titled, so I just put EP, and yeah, that's how it came out.
Speaks for itself.
Yeah, there you go.
All right. Ego and Vice.
Wrong. They'll tell you that's the way it is. So- know it, cause I would never show it, and I don't wanna blow it with you. You take it all, but you will never know how hard you are on those around you. You never go it alone, but never pick up the phone to call. And I will never know it, cause you will never show it, and everybody owes it to you. Tell you that's the way it is. Some people are above the law. There's a limit we can take of this. Somewhere there's a line we draw. You never know it, cause I would never show it, and I don't wanna blow it with you. You take it all, but you will never know how hard you are on those around you.
So songwriting now, I know you were breaking down kind of how it's done and how the actual song is written. I always bring up this topic because I find it really interesting, and I guess because I'm older now, I always wonder, because I have conversations with younger bands and I have conversations with older bands. How is the content or the writing, like what do you write about nowadays?
Hmm.
How is that different from when you were 20 years old and you wanted to burn the world down?
Oh, man, that's a hard question. I still want to burn the world down. man, it's a passion of my life. And like, so I just got a book and I'm reading it right now. It's called The Artist's Way.
Mm.
And it's all about, instigating the sort of spiritual creative influences that are in you,
mm-hmm.
and recognizing that you're basically a volcano and the creative elements of you are waiting to explode. And it's like you spend your whole life building the filters that prevent it from exploding. You know, you reserve yourself, you filter yourself, you have too much caution. And then you have to actually come up with exercises and practice to remove those filters so that the volcano can explode. And then you'd be surprised what comes out, because it's going to be a part of you, and it's going to be the deepest part of you. You know, it's funny. So that book is really good, The Artist's Way. It's very famous. So for me, it's been this lifelong passion, and I never know where the song's going to take me. I never know where the lyrics are going to take me.
Mm-hmm.
I like to try to be characters sometimes. Other times I like to be myself.
Mm-hmm.
I like to tell you a story, let you in the door and see who I am, you know. I like to do third person narration and just look at pick one of them and then try to stay in that wheelhouse and write a song about it. Real quick, the way that I kind of describe a song is it's like writing a newspaper article. So the editor of the newspaper says to you, I've given you this much space and you have this many words that you're allowed to use. And I need you to tell me a very compelling story, and I want you to make it rhyme every third line. Go. Right? So now you give yourself that box, and you have to do that. Mm-hmm. So songwriting to me is like my great passion, you know, aside from my family. I'll never stop writing songs, and I'll never stop chasing, trying to just get better at that. You know, does that make sense?
No, it totally does. And I understand the filters and stuff, because as you get older, like I said, when you're 20, you want to burn the world down, then you'll fucking tell people, I'll burn the fucking world down. You're just blunt about it, right? Yeah. And then as you grow older, based off your situation, maybe your job, you just get a little bit more reserved, a little bit more closed in, where you got to kind of watch what you're saying, right? Because it's not just you you're looking out for anymore. You don't want to ruin reputations of your workplace or your family or anything. Fuck you, you know, and all that shit. So yeah, I get it. And breaking those down and finding like a place that you can still tell a story is super interesting. I don't know. I never used to write about myself. Now I just write about like experiences, I guess, but that's what you have, right, in life.
Mm-hmm.
And I think everyone, the human condition, everyone goes through somewhat of the same experience in one way or another. And I think now it's just trying to almost relate to people through lyrics. You know, you write a story that's somewhat familiar, but and then you find a really fucking great melody to make it fucking stick in your head.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, man, I don't know. I find it harder as I get older.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I don't want to come across as a fucking burn the world down kid. I want to come across like I want to tell a good story.
Well, you need that book, The Artist's Way.
Shit, now I know what it is, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to fucking take a look at it and probably try to read it. I'll take extra ADHD medication.
Yeah.
And I'll go a page at a time. It should take me about 6 months. So what's down the road? Like, what do you guys foresee with for 2024? What do you have some goals? Do you have some obviously you do because you're very meticulous about how you do stuff.
Yeah.
Yes and no. I mean, I think there's definitely new tunes. I think that's really what we're working on now. We'd like to play a show. I mean, we haven't done that yet, so that'd be a good thing to probably get under our belts at some point. But yeah, I think like songwriting and just creating music, I think is really where we're at right now. So for the short term, I think that's probably where we're headed. And Dan, I don't know, we don't have a lot of...
Dan keeps bugging us. He's like, we got to jam more. We got to practice more. Let's do it once a week. And we're like, man, we're so busy.
Well, yeah. I mean, Joe has other bands that he plays in. Right now, I don't have a whole lot on the go. So I don't have a lot of opportunities to play. Whereas Joe's like, I jammed 6 times this week. I'm good, right?
Taking
like,
that, so, taking that for so granted.
I'm so tired. I'm so sick of that.
Yeah.
So...
No, not at all, but just different. I like that. Well, like I said earlier, it's because it's an opportunity for me to use a different palette to create a different set of people, a different set of motivations, and a different way of writing. So the more as an artist I can get into sort of different pressure cookers, that helps me, you know, to be able to chase that thing I'm looking for.
Gotcha.
You know, which I don't know what it is.
Well, it's,
does that make sense?
Yeah, it's definitely the music. Deadwell, the music itself is. It caught me because that's. It's almost like I was saying to Brent. It has that melody to it. It has that kind of that hookiness. That kind of it has a heaviness to it, but it's still like, you know, it stays with you. Kind of, you get that really deep, really melodic kind of chorus part.
Oh, good. Okay.
And it is the relatable kind of feeling, right? It's it's almost like the nostalgic music where it's like, next summer, I'll hear that song will pop on and it'll remind me of this summer type of stuff.
Oh, good. That's really cool.
You know what I mean? And I love that kind of music.
Thanks,
man.
Yeah.
I have other bands like that have that kind of really awesome kind of, it has the power, it has the kind of punk rock, kind of rock. I wouldn't coin you guys punk rock, like punk rock. There is some punk rock stuff in there, but...
Yeah, that's fair.
I think Spotify called us emo, right?
Yeah.
Is that what emo? Apparently we're emo.
I don't know what...
Does Spotify know?
Yeah, we didn't know how to process that.
Well, we got sad and cried.
Well, yeah.
But one of the bands that came up when I was talking about that before was like Nothington. I really like the band. Have you ever heard the band Cold Years?
No.
Yeah, they're Cold a Years. Super. That's like my snowboarding soundtrack.
Sweet.
Because they have that same kind of like groove and that melody, and just it sounds right. You should check them out. I think they're really good. Cold Years. Yeah. Okay, that's awesome. And I guess before you play shows and stuff, you should have a set, right? Like, it's probably a good way to thing to start.
We could pull it off. If we got a show right now, we could pull it off. We'd come up with something. Yeah. Play a face-to-face song or something.
There you go.
You know? Yeah, so. No, it's coming soon. It's we're not rushing anything. We're just a bunch of dudes having fun. We're all busy with our lives, and we like this band. We all like each other, and it's really working. And
that's
it's just
awesome.
Slow and organic, and that's... Well, I say slow. It's not really, actually. It's pretty fast, given the amount of work we put in. But it's just organic. It's authentic. And really, man, that's checking all the boxes for me. Right?
Yeah. And that's awesome, man. You find some guys that you enjoy playing with and you have a good time with, and, you know, you write your own ticket.
Totally, dude.
You're set. Okay. Well, that's it. I have a game. Oh, I guess before we play the game, is there any other things you guys want to talk about? Any shout-outs, anything you want to say about the band?
A whole lot. I mean, we're like little babies. Like, we're still wearing band diapers here. Like, we're not – we don't have a whole lot
it's
of –
It's all fresh.
Yeah.
Slow process.
Yeah.
I don't know. Good.
Okay. Mark's like, you guys want to do a podcast? We're like, what are we going to talk about?
Well,
we have 5 songs and we jam 5
They've all known each other for – 10-15 years, and I just met these guys literally about 5 months ago. So, so I'm still getting to know them, and I know Joe a little more. But it's
right on, man.
Like Dan said, we're in diapers, and we're
when you guys
slowly growing.
Well, I'm super happy I got you this early in the band world, because next year when you come back, we can listen back to this and be like, remember when you guys came in?
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, where's Mark? Oh, he realized we're all a bunch of dicks and he quit.
Yeah.
He was still feeling us out at that point.
Okay, I have a game. It's called 13 Questions with the Band. Would you like to play? I need to ask consent.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Time for 13 questions with the band. Yes, this segment's back again. It's called 13 questions, but I only asked 6, maybe 5. So I'm going to break down the rules of 13 questions with the band. I have 13 questions. I don't actually ask you 13 questions. I pull from the 13 questions. Is everybody okay with these rules?
It's cool.
Okay. And I can ask each of you. We'll try to go in like a rapid thing. If someone has like a long-winded story to tell off one of the questions, by all means, I'll just edit it out after. Okay, 13 questions with Deadwell. My very first question is, let's see. What was the first CD, tape, or record you bought with your own money?
The Beavis and Butthead Experience in 1993.
Yeah, very nice.
First CD I've ever owned. Yeah, I was 10 years old.
Good. That sounds good. And yeah. Do you still have it?
I do.
Nice.
I do, yeah. It's broken, but yeah, it's still there.
It's been through many a jewel case. Or is it a cassette? CD? Okay.
Pretty sure mine was Bleach by Nirvana.
Oh, I think. Classic, eh?
Mine was Evil Empire on cassette. The Rage Against the Machine.
Rage. Yep.
And I think I was Hum, You'd Prefer an Astronaut.
Very nice.
Yep.
All right. Next question is... Desert Island Record. If you were stuck on a desert island tomorrow and you only had one record until they saved you, it could be 10 years, what would it be? What would you choose?
Well, this is a lot of our genre, but it's a one-hit wonder band, but I absolutely love the CD. It's the Refreshments, Fizzy Fuzzy, Big and Buzzy.
Oh, yeah. That's awesome.
It's absolutely amazing. Yeah. It's the only CD that I've played so much that I had to buy a second copy because I wore it out.
Wore out the CD.
Yeah. Yeah,
look at that.
I suck at this. I literally don't have an answer to this. My wife always gets at me because I never listen to the same thing twice in a row. Like I bounce around so much. I don't know if I could do this. This is a lot of pressure.
We have there's a 13 questions with the band back door. You just go same.
You know what? It is a good one because when you said it, I was nodding. I'm like, yeah, that's a solid choice. Yeah. Let's go around. I'm gonna think on this. I may pass, but okay. Let the other lads answer here.
There's no passes. There's just sames. Okay. you can choose who you want to same as though. Okay. Anyway.
Yeah.
For me, it'd be a Mastodon record for sure. Either Mastodon, either Remission or Leviathan. I'll go Leviathan. I guess on that. That's the
very one. Good.
And I will go with Propagandhi, Victory Lap.
Ah,
recent one. You totally still. I was going Propagandhi as well, but I was
same. Yeah. Same. See,
no, there you go. Not that album though.
Yeah,
probably one of the earlier ones. Yeah.
Speaking of
maybe,
dad, go ahead.
What
I was gonna say. Speaking of dad rockers who got better with age, Propagandhi, man.
Mm. Yeah.
There you go. Yeah.
No, that's solid for sure. Same.
There you go.
Bam. Beautiful. Well done. Okay. If you had a time machine and you could go to any moment in music history, where and what would it be?
Oh, music history. Okay. I would like to go to like a traditional Irish pub in the 1600s and just hear some actual trad Irish folk music the way it was back then.
Have a nice warm pint.
Oh, man. Yeah. Like, I play in an Irish, traditional Irish band, and, like, we're really busy over St. Paddy's and stuff, so I can play all those songs, but they're all modernized, eh?
Yeah.
I really, really get into, like, trad Irish stuff, so that's where I'd go.
Very good.
Yep.
Cool.
I'd say an early 90s Lollapalooza. That's my era, and that's my jam.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Minneapolis, I was in, I saw Lollapalooza in 94, I believe it was. Henry Rollins Band.
Oh, cool.
Jane's Addiction. Fucking, oh man, it was crazy. Like, when I was young and it was like a festival. Like, I'm at a festival. Anyway, sorry. I agree with you.
It's fucking that's right, here we go.
90s were the best.
Do you remember it?
Remember, I know I was there. Yeah. I have actual photographs of myself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Queen at Live Aid.
Oh, yeah, man. Yeah.
But only their set and leave for a reason.
What about Phil Collins? No? You didn't like Phil Collins? Yeah.
You don't want to do a sing-along with Axl Rose?
Yeah.
No?
I'm going same with Mark. 90s, like that era, 94 to 96, like just the records and the bands that were coming out then. I feel like it's cliche to say that like, you know, everybody in their growing up thinks that was the best music, but like,
but you're right.
But I'm right about
it. It was the 90s.
Yeah,
it was crazy. I mean,
like, we will be at band practice trying to practice our songs and get better, and Mark and Cody will start playing Silverchair together.
Yeah, it's if like, Mark's not here next time we come, that's the reason.
Yeah,
like, I hear the riff and I can't not
Silverchair.
Yeah. Silverchair, the kids. Remember, they were just kids. That was a big deal.
Kids.
These guys, they're how old?
Yeah, they were like 14 or something when Frog Song came out. It's good crazy. Though, man.
The '90s. I always say I was saying that I haven't found music the same way I did in the '90s ever since. Mm. I still find music and I still listen to music, but it doesn't. It's not the same for me. Mm. Anyway, what was the first live concert you ever attended?
Who wants this one first?
I'm pretty sure it was Bare Naked Ladies when they were like touring Gordon. And I lived in Newmarket at the time. I think they were from around there. It was like at the Newmarket Rec Center. It was a smallish small thing. Kind of thing. Yeah.
It's a good Canadian. Bare Naked good Ladies. Canadian.
Yeah, it was a good time.
Outfit. Yeah.
Mark? Mine was... My dad took me to see the Beach Boys in 1989 when they came to the Civic Center.
Fucking cool, man. Yeah.
Kokomo.
That's awesome.
Right? The Kokomo tour.
That's it. Yeah, I do remember that. I think I was six or something, but I do have a vague recollection of it.
In May, there's a... On Disney Plus, there's a Beach Boys movie coming out. There's a trailer. It looks fucking really good. I don't know if you guys... With the Riptides and stuff, Beach Boys, Ramones, that kind of stuff is very, very influential to the pop punk of what we do there. So yeah. Beach Boys is a big one. The movie looks good. Looks really good if you're into that kind of thing.
There's a lot of history there. So
totally. Yeah, awesome. Totally.
Brian Wilson's wicked, yeah.
Yeah.
Dan's up.
Yeah, I do remember now. It was my parents. My parents play in a band, and that was the first show that I ever saw.
Do you know what the band was called?
Red Tape.
Red Tape.
They still play, and they've been together longer than I've been alive. So 45, 50 years they've been around. Yeah.
Oh, nice.
They started out as like 60s rock covers, and they played all the school dances and everything and all that. And then they're still playing today.
Nice.
That's awesome. And mine was Aerosmith Collective Soul open for them at Lansdowne Park.
Cool.
It was like when Aerosmith had their big comeback in the 90s there, you know, Get a Grip, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They were friggin' awesome. The show they put on, oh my God, man.
Yeah, no doubt.
So I was just a little kid, right? I remember that.
Yeah. I just saw a thing on the internet where they're doing their final tour.
Are they?
And Steve Tyler's like on top of a piano. He's like mid-70s, right?
Yeah.
Still got the scarves and the hair. And
yeah.
Man, those guys... For the shit they did to themselves.
Yeah.
Joe Perry, right?
Yeah, the Toxic Twins.
Yeah, Steve Tyler, it's amazing that anyone would have said Aerosmith will be in their 70s touring.
Yeah.
Steve Tyler will be on top of a piano. Yeah. Right? That was fucking...
Who's the girl the same girl that was always in all her videos? Alicia
Silverstone, yeah.
That's it. Okay.
Yeah, back in the 90s, man, yeah. Hmm. Yeah.
Where are they now?
Yeah.
She peaked with Batgirl.
Not yeah. That, yeah, where is she now? Yeah, good question.
Okay, a couple more. If you could, if Deadwell could open for any band, who would it be?
Dan's got one. Dan wants the mic. Dan's reaching for the mic.
Propagandy would be my pick for sure.
You want to open for Prop? Yeah.
I don't know. I just like those guys. Like, that's probably the band I've seen the most of all bands, period.
They're so good.
They're just always fun shows.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everyone agree with that?
Yeah, I'm going same.
I'm going to say, so I look at Deadwell as a rock band, right? So I like, you know, I play in punk bands too, right? But I like what we're doing, but it's a little bit more, let's maybe commercialize is the word a little bit. I think that if we open for Billy Talent, that would be amazing.
Cool.
Because I do really like Billy Talent. I think they got a lot of punk rock roots, but they are sort of a rock band, right? And I think that we'd fit in that kind of vein.
You know what? I don't think there's anything wrong with being a rock band.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Everyone wants to be like, I'm pop, punk, emo, noise. It's just like, I'm in a rock band.
I play
rock and roll.
We
also
definitely
wasn't implying that we would be a good fit to open for.
Yeah, I think Propaganda would yell at us.
Like, that had nothing to do
with
it.
Get off the stage. What are you guys talking about?
Right. Okay. Next question. Two more questions. If each of you, this is for each of you, could have a drink or a meal or something with any musician, live or dead, who would it be?
For me, it would be David Gilmour, Pink Floyd. Huge influence on me.
Cool.
Playing everything. I love his style. Mm. So, hands down.
Yeah, I'm going to go off the board on this one. I'm going to say Bach, assuming he had a translator, because I don't speak German. But
Sebastian Bach?
Yeah. Yeah. Johann. Yeah. Because so I'm a bit of a nerd, and he combined math and music kind of in a way that hasn't really been done to that extent before. Mm. I suspect he's probably kind of on the spectrum if you actually talk to him, but I think he'd be fascinating to talk to you to kind of like, because he pioneered an entire
that's
genre,
cool,
and like the way he approached counterpoint and melody was very methodical, and I'm very much like that. Like I kind of gravitate towards order. So yeah, I think I'd get a lot out of that conversation.
Cool, man. Digging deep into the deep cuts.
Yeah.
All right.
Cody.
This is a tough question. I don't know. I mean, who would be cool? I mean, somebody like maybe like Maynard James Keenan or something like that would be cool to have a beer with,
or he'd be a complete choice. Dick.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, he kind of, you know, you never know like what he's like. Yeah, yeah.
Your jujitsu on.
Yeah, that's it. Well, you know, yeah, we'd have some stuff to talk about. He just got his black belt apparently, so yeah, he's legit. But I think that'd be mine. Yeah.
Cool, and I would be Bruce Springsteen.
Oh, the boss, man.
The boss. Yep.
I don't have many records, but they're half of them are Bruce Springsteen.
The best.
Fuck the best, right? Mm-hmm. The best. I appreciate that. I appreciate that. Okay, the last question of 13 questions with the band, with Deadwell. Who is Deadwell?
Like, how do we come up with the name?
I think it's an open-ended whatever you want type question.
Yeah. You can answer it any way you want.
It's just something to do. It's fun. I don't know if there's a whole lot of weight behind it. The origin story of the name is interesting. It's worth telling probably.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah,
that's a good answer.
Yeah, it's nothing amazing or anything, but it's basically I fish with my friends, and up at the cottage one day, we do a weekend every year, and we're terrible fishermen. We just end up drinking more, and there's a live well on my boat, and we don't always fill it up, and then we drink at night and we laugh about how little fish we catch, and we might as well call it a dead well, and we just kind of ran with that joke, and then now we created a logo. My friends are like, well, you should call your band that, and I kind of floated the idea with these guys, and we're like, yeah, let's do it.
So as soon as he says, do you want to call the band Deadwell, I'm like, that's amazing, because to me, in my life, music has been a dead well. So I'm like,
no fish or cut.
Yep, exactly. I'm like, I will never stop fishing. I love it so much. I love just being an artist and being creative. But if I'm looking at anything, making any money or anything out of this, man, I'm playing the wrong game, right? So yeah. So as soon as he said it, I was like, yeah, that's the name. That's the band name.
Cool. Love origin stories. It's always great to meet guys that I have a lot in common with, not just music, just kind of stages of life. And love the Deadwell story. That's cool. I love the fish. And that's rock and roll.
Rock and roll.
Thank you so much for being on the show. And
thanks for
I wish
us.
You nothing
thanks for
but
us.
Success.
You too,
and
man.
Good luck writing the record, I guess.
Thanks, buddy.
Maybe we'll see you on stage sometime.
Yep.
Yeah, we're towards that, yeah.
And hopefully we'll see all four of you next year, even Mark.
That's right.
Yeah. All right. Thanks a lot.
Okay. Cheers. We'll be right back.
principles embedded in all our hearts. It takes a spark and a fire to instigate emotion. Freedom from oppression, not our rights, all the human's life. Perception shifted amidst slavery's curse, another rich man's war, but the poor ones fight. Personally, I would have fought hard for the oppressed ones' rights. Now I look around me, will people tolerate the illusion of freedom? Let me elaborate. Heart means weakness. We compromise our virtues, staring at our phones stuck inside our heads, all in burning beds. Remember that old song?
So that is the end of episode 132. I'd really like to thank the guys from Deadwell coming out and sharing some time in here. Southhood Studio, Ego and Vice. If you want to listen to the podcast, you should go to egoandvicepodcast.com. It is my home base, my HQ, my fortress of solitude. Every single link that you need to find the podcast is there. YouTube, Spotify, Google Podcasts. Yada, yada, yada. If you want to get a hold of me, you can always reach me at egoandvice@gmail.com. Leave a comment. Leave a complaint. It's all good. Anyway, we'll see you next week. Thanks a lot.
You've got a real attitude problem, McFly. You're a slacker.